and welcome to Light Warrior Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Kann, author of the number one best-selling book, Sensitivity is Your Superpower: How to Harness Your Gifts and Do Your Purpose and Create a Life of Joy. And today is a very, very special day because I have my friend and colleague Anne Heshin here, who is going to be talking about the energy of sales for healers and a little sneak peek into this amazing program that she's going to be launching soon. And there's a lot of people out there who are like me, who are sensitive souls, who are healers, who hated marketing. Or sales, not so much marketing, because I didn't know what marketing was, and she will define that for us. So she didn't like sales, and I did anything but that, and I was pretty poor, not being able to pay my rent, both at my house and my mortgage, and had a lot of negative beliefs about healing, sales. Like I felt like I really should do everything for free, because I'm a healer, not a football player, right? And yeah, that got me into a lot of trouble until I got really, really sick. And then I realized, okay, there's something wrong up here about what I think should happen. And so people like Anne are really here to help us healers really dive into that heart-centered place where we can naturally share our gifts and have the right people come to us. So let me tell you a little bit about Anne. Anne and I met through an award, actually. Anne emailed me and says, I would like to give you an energy medicine, award. And I was like, what? Which was super cool. And I'm so grateful for that experience. She's a healer herself and a heart-centered sales expert who helps energy healers and soulpreneurs who have amazing gifts for the world, but are allergic to sales and selling. As a medical intuitive and energy healer with over 30 years experience in transformational healing and a sales expert who's personally sold millions of dollars of programs and services, she's uniquely qualified to help energy healers transform their relationship to sales so that they can confidently and easily grow their businesses without ever feeling fake, pushy, or salesy. Oh, and I'm so happy to have you here today. Thank you for joining us.
I'm really psyched to be here. This is going to be fun.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, let's talk first about your journey. First of all, like, how did you become, an expert in both energy healing and sales? That's a very interesting combination.
Yeah, it's not unheard of, but it's not common, right? So I'll joke that I'm a little bit of a unicorn, right, to have those two things together. Well, in terms of energy healing, I would say I've always been, I wouldn't have called it energy healing probably a lot of my life, but in retrospect, it kind of was. I've always been interested in alternative approaches to health and wellness and the mind-body connection. And, just that's fascinated me for years. And I've been going into that for myself and to a certain degree professionally since like the 80s, really. Studied a number of different kind of transformational healing modalities. I was a massage therapist. I was a director of a wellness center. So that part, the alternative healing, energy healing, the woo-woo, that sort of side of things, that's been part of my life most of my life. The sales and business side sort of has been, here's what I'd say. I would say I'm naturally kind of entrepreneurial, which isn't true for most healers. Like I've always liked the idea of having my own business, and I have had my own business, or even sometimes when I had a job, I'd have a side thing. So I'm probably a little bit more of a tendency towards that than the average healer. In fact, as a little bit of an aside, right, along one of the things along this journey, a little fast forward, I've had over 10,000 one-to-one conversations with other energy healers. Like not like an exaggeration, like literally, well over 10,000 one-to-one conversations with other healers. And so I know healers really well as being one of them. And I would say, and tell me if you think this, kind of lands for you and the people that you serve, I'd say maybe 10 to 15% of them, of people who would identify themselves as energy healers, would also be, they are kind of naturally entrepreneurial. They kind of like to have their own thing, but the majority are not, right? And so if they're wanting to do healing, their healing work for a living, they're kind of like, you have to create a business. Like if they could just get a job doing energy healing, they would be like, sign me up, forget this build email list crap, forget all that, forget me having to sell. If I could just have a job doing that, right? That's the majority, right, of healers. And part of what makes what I do so rewarding is that I'm letting them know they don't have to turn themselves inside out and become an entrepreneur in order to have a successful healing business, because you don't. Right. But back to like, but I am, I'm one of, I'm, and you are too, I would say. We're in that 15% or so that are a little bit more naturally, kind of entrepreneurial, or at least it evolved to that.
Thrown into it
Yeah.
because I like to do
So
things my way.
yes, well, that is a part of it for sure.
Yes. When it's
There's some
not
control
aligned,
stuff.
and yes, medicine was getting very unethical, at least from my point of view, in treating the patients. And that was the line. That was the line. You cross that line, I'm out. So, yeah.
So anyway, I had that bent, and so I, did have different things that I was doing that were my business, but none of them were terribly successful. Like I was kind of making a living, kind of sort of, because I didn't really have the sales piece, right? Like I used to be allergic to sales too.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, that didn't come naturally. And along the way, though, there was a point, I'll tell you actually. So there was, how we all have these moments in life when life kind of gets divided into how life was before that moment and how life is after that moment, right? We all have those. So I'm going to share one of those moments with you. 2007, in summer of 2007, and my husband and our two daughters were driving home from my family reunion in Western Massachusetts at the farm where my grandfather grew up. It was a beautiful, wonderful day. We're driving home, and we realized we're getting really low on gas, and so we pulled into a gas station to get some gas, not to fill the tank. We didn't have enough money to fill the tank, right? I'm probably not the only person who's had that experience, right? But we're just gonna get enough to get home to Rhode Island, right? And but it's, of course, it's a gas station and convenience store, and we've got two little kids in the back seat, so you know what happened, right? They like peep up their little heads from the back seat. Mommy, I'm so hungry. I'm hungry. Can we get a snack? I'm starving, starving. Can we please get something to eat? And there's like no money in my wallet. And I don't know, 15 bucks in the account or something. Like we had to get gas. We had to get home.
Oh my
And
gosh.
so I had to say no, right? I had to say no, you guys are gonna have to wait till we get home. And we got home, there's food at home, my kids get fed that night. And what do you think the rest of that ride was like? Right. I mean, I just was like, I was so in my face. I was trying to make a living as a coach at that time. I was clearly failing. And I was just like, I just had to choose between getting gas and feeding my kids. And it's
Oh
like, this
gosh.
can't go on, right?
Right.
Can't go on. And that really is was right. It's like one of those moments. Life has to change. And that's when I really got the I had to learn how to sell. Well, it didn't matter that I was good at what I did. It didn't matter that I cared a lot. It didn't matter that I wanted to make a difference. If I couldn't sell what I did, it was never going to make any difference for anybody, including myself. And so that kind of gave me the kick in the butt and the oomph and maybe the courage to do something about it. Because up until now, that had always stopped me, the sales thing, right? Like I got a few clients, but it was kind of luck, right? More than skill. So I was like, I got to do this. So here's what I did. I went and got a sales job.
Really?
I went and got a 100% commission only sales job.
Wow.
This is like, I gotta learn this. Like it's either I give up and I don't do what I really want to do and I just go get some job doing something, or I gotta learn how to sell. So it's like, if I'm gonna learn how to sell, I want to get paid while I'm learning it,
That's
right?
actually kind of smart.
Yeah. So I went and got a job and I did that sales training like my life depended on it, right? And I got good at it. I started to learn that there were things that I liked about sales, like the fact that a lot of sales is helping people solve problems.
Right.
I like helping people solve problems. You like helping people? I love helping people. That's a big part of sales, right? A big part of sales is like listening and asking good questions and really understanding where people are coming from. So I did well. I started to be able to at least support her, support us doing those sales. Then I actually went and got another sales job at a much more kind of high-powered thing. It was like more in the like coaching industry, and that was much more intense. I won't get into it, but it was a much more intense kind of thing, right? And I don't mean it was like nasty hard sell. I wouldn't have done that, but it was a lot more like, like really show
Expectations
up.
or
But yeah, I'm sorry, what did you say?
like expectations of certain
Yeah,
rates, things
and
like
just a whole different kind of culture. So I did
that.
that too, and I became one of their top salespeople.
Wow.
And so along that journey, which was several years, right? You don't learn this stuff overnight. But I learned a lot of things that I really loved, that I still use, right? They're still part of how I help people to make decisions, which is really what sales is. And I also learned some things I didn't like. There were some things that like didn't work for me. And along the way, I developed my own way of doing sales. That's this heart-centered, I like to call it soulful sales, right? And that is what that's what I do. And then I kind of had these two sides of me, right? So then I really started doing energy healing work, and I built a six-figure energy healing practice, which
Nice.
not a lot of healers can say, right? It's because I know how to do sales, right? So I was doing that over here, and then over here I was also doing sales for some other people, for Dr. Bradley Nelson, who you know, and everything, there was a point though where, and I'm sure some of the people listening can relate to this, and you probably can too. It was like I'm doing this over here and this over here. I was a little bored with both. Like neither one of them was using enough of me. Do you know that feeling,
Like
right?
you have so much to give, and you're
Yeah,
only
and it's like
just
neither
getting
one.
it.
And that's where I had the idea of, well, what if I brought them together? And what if I taught sales to other healers and people who are allergic to sales so they could make the really big difference they're going to make in the world? So that's when I brought them together into this business now, the Soulpreneur Success Code. And this uses all of me, and it's just the best ever. So
Oh, that's so
that's,
beautiful.
yeah, and that's really what I'm here to do. I like to say I'm here to heal the business of healing, right?
Oh, I love that.
Help
Well,
healers.
and then it's like the 360 degrees of who you really are. You get to actually do that. And so many healers desire that so much. In fact, I was talking to somebody who is hiring me to be a keynote speaker at a convention, and they're all volunteers, in this group. During the day, she's a cook. Right. And she's like, oh, it'll be great one day when I can just do energy healing. And I felt sad in a way that she had been in this, volunteering for 15 years. And she's, nothing wrong with being a cook. If you love doing that, yes, awesome. I love to eat. You know what I mean? Like we need
Yeah,
things like
absolutely.
that,
But that's not
right? But
everything.
she, I just felt from her that if she could for financially afford it, she would do healing. So these are the people that, we really want to support. And so it's so great that you have like put these two parts together to help healers. Oh my gosh, so great. Yeah, thank you,
Well,
Anne.
that's kind of how I got here.
Yeah, that's great. By the way, for those of you that are just tuning in, Anne Heschen is not only an expert energy healer, she's also expert at sales, and we are talking about sales for healers. And in fact, we have a nice little gift. It's at I have a pretty link here, guys. KarenCann.com/sales for healers, all one word. So KarenCann.com/sales for healers. So there's some goodies there. We'll talk a little bit more about what you get when you opt into that particular gift. So Anne, I'll let you kind of start. Like, what's the problem here? Why are healers not good at sales? Like, some people really are, and they rock at it. Just not healers in general.
Not in general. There's certainly some exceptions, but not in general. Well, I mean, there's honestly, there's so many reasons. So we'll dissect it a little bit, take it apart a little bit. I mean, I think that not only healers, but a lot of people have very, very negative associations with sales, right? We've all had bad sales experiences where the
Car
sales,
dealership,
yeah, right? Where the salesperson
Amway.
was, well, yeah, right? All kinds of things. And so, I do an exercise with people sometimes where I just have them like, spit out all of the negative associations they have with sales, and we do like a word cloud, and then we do it, and it's just like, oh, right, it's like, fake and pushy and manipulative and lying and did it, all this stuff. And we all look culturally, as such as healers, culturally, we have these negative associations with sales. Okay, we all could think of unpleasant situations that we had with a salesperson, right? However, if you look, we all have some great experiences with salespeople too, don't we? Right? We've all had people who were actually really great, right? They really listened. They took time to ask us questions. They educated us and helped us figure out, what it was that was available that could help us, right? Like, we've all had experiences like that. And that's how sales can be and should be, right? So one of the things that I like to say is that, well, I'll step back from it a second. So the I think there's a very old outdated paradigm of sales that, to me, it's outdated. That is the way sales is, often taught and has been taught for years. I think it's also shifting. I'm not the only person who's doing sales in a more heart-centered way, thank goodness. But that sort of old, outdated paradigm, it's very, it's a lot of male energy, right? And not knocking male energy. I love male energy. I have a lot of it myself, but it's just about what works for people like us, So if you look at the language of the way sales is normally taught, like a lot of sales training, it's right there in the language if you look at it. Like, pretty much every sales training ever or sales manual ever will have a chapter called overcoming objections, right?
Yes, I've seen that a lot.
Right? Overcoming
Yes,
objections. I mean,
yes.
let's just stop and look at the language there. Overcoming them, right? Like, be a bulldozer, overcome them. It's not like, what about listening to them, addressing them, seeing if you can resolve them? No, it's right. Do you see? It's like just right there in the
Evolving.
language.
Yeah, just that the energy is so different.
Very different, right? Right. And this, you watch, old movies like Glengarry Glen Ross, right? That I can't even say it. It's this like always be closing and da, 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 right? It's this very male energy, right? And honestly, there's probably industries where that's still totally appropriate and totally works, and that's fine, but it doesn't work for healers, right? So the kind of sales that works for us is actually much more rooted in authentic female energy, which is more about the relationship, right? Fundamentally, male energy is about the transaction, right? It's about the transaction, and that matters. But you can tell if someone has something to sell you, and their focus is on the transaction, and they're putting the transaction as being more important than the relationship, right? Like, you can tell. You can also tell if you're dealing with someone and they're putting the relationship as being more important than the transaction, right? It's a totally different energy. And that, in a nutshell, is what I would say is heart-centered, soulful sales. It's about always putting the relationship before the transaction.
Wow, you just simplified a whole bunch of complex things into like one concept. That's brilliant. Thank you.
Welcome. Right. And you can tell, right? You can tell the difference. And it's not saying the transaction's not important at all, right? It's not about, because then that's not sales at all. That's just a
True.
conversation. But
Right.
it's that's the transaction is secondary. It's only you only, go for the transaction essentially. You only offer the transaction if you've spent enough time in the relationship to know that if it even makes sense, you've actually taken the time to see is the issue this person's dealing with something that what you have to offer could really help, as opposed to like just buy my stuff.
Right, exactly. Right. And one of the salespeople that I had learned through network marketing, her name is Kim Claver, and she used to say, if you go to the store and you're a size 9, do you go and look in the aisle for size 5 shoes? No, you go to the aisle that says size 9 shoes because you want it to be a fit. So that
Exactly.
really, really struck me because a lot of times, and especially network marketing, old school stuff, it's like anybody can do this. I'm like, so why is there a 99% like failure rate if anybody can do this? And they say these things like, go hit up your brother and your mother and your, everybody, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, they're not like me, right? They're not the size 9 shoe. Like, I don't resonate with this, which is probably why I didn't make money for the first 7 years, because I'm just like, no. And then I met Kim, and then I was like, ooh, okay, this is
Yeah, you got to see if
interesting.
it's a
So,
fit first, right? Well, and that brings up actually something that I mentioned to you before, which is the difference between marketing and sales. So this would be really, really good time to talk about that. So I find that a lot of people, even people who actually are kind of entrepreneurial and have their own business, still aren't totally clear about the difference between marketing and sales. And definitely, I would say most healers and coaches and people are coming in where their focus is like they just love doing what they do, right? The business side is a struggle. Are not clear about what the difference is, and not being clear about the difference between marketing and sales is actually causing a lot of problems and causing them to have a lot of unpleasant experiences and not be effective. So, I'm going to give you Anne Hessian's definition
All
of
right.
marketing and sales. Okay, so. Marketing is simply getting the right message out in front of the right people in a way that has them go, oh, that's me you're talking about, or oh, that interests me, right? Or I want to find out more about that, right? In other words, in some way, shape, or form, they raise their hand, right? That's what I would say, raising hand. So raising their hand could be, I mean, it could be literally raising their hand, I suppose, if you're speaking to a group. It could be them scheduling a consultation with you. It could be clicking on something and joining your email list, right? But they see something in the message, because I've seen it estimated anywhere from like 7 or 8,000 to like 30,000 marketing messages a day that most of us are exposed to, right? Now, are you conscious of being, no, right? Most of them, you don't even see them, but there's a few that stand out, right? And even a few that get you to raise your hand, right? There was something about that message that you're like, I'm going to find out more about that, right? So that's all marketing is. It's getting people to raise their hand and say, I want to find out more. Okay. So if that's what marketing is, what is sales? So sales is having ideally an actual conversation. I mean, it could be back and forth via email, but it's best when it's an actual conversation with, and this is so important, only the people who raise their hand. Only them to find out why they raised their hand. That's actually the first thing you need to find out. You don't have a conversation because they raise their hand and immediately try to sell them. You find out why? What was it in what you said that got their attention? What piqued their interest? What is it that's going on with them? So you find out why they raised their hand. What are they dealing with? What struggles do they have or problems they'd like to solve? How would they like it to be instead? Right. And only if you, once you've discovered that, once you've discovered that, only then would you know if what you have to offer would actually help them. So you definitely don't try to sell them anything until not only do they raise their hand, but you found out why and you found out what's going on with them. So for those listening, you may realize that you've at least some of the time tried to sell something to someone who hadn't raised their hand yet. And if you did, it probably didn't go well. Like when you said Amway earlier, right? This classic.
Amway trauma my mom went through, and then I absorbed all of her negativity around sales and marketing with network marketing companies. And now I'm in one, so that's kind of funny.
It's on how you do it, right? If you don't try to sell to people who haven't raised their hand, you just got rid of like the majority of the sales trauma that, right? Because it's like that's the problem. I mean, it's not the problem, but it's a huge problem that people are doing. And a lot of, especially like you said, more old school network marketing, that's what they were to just talk to everybody. It's like, and I mean,
Make a
honestly,
list of 100 people.
yeah. I mean, it's fine to talk to everybody to put the basic message and see if they raise their hand. That's fine, right? But most people heard it like, try to sell everybody.
Oh my gosh, right. You need this. Well, and as a medical doctor, for example, who, into holistic health, for me, I would just like spot, which of my friends or whatever, and so my mind was like, well, they need this. So I was trying to sell them on something they need, whether it be income or this product, and it just never really went anywhere.
Because people don't buy what they need, they buy what they want.
Exactly. And the people that did were people who were already my clients or patients. Because we had a trust and because they were asking me for help. So when I would suggest something and why, they were
Because
like,
they
oh.
raised their hand. They raised their hand. Yeah, exactly. Right. It's such an important concept. So, if you look at anything that you're doing, it's get be clear. Is this action I'm taking, is this marketing? Is this putting something out there and then waiting to see who raised their hand, or is this sales with someone who already raised their hand? And don't mix them. Right. Now, sometimes they flow into each other really quickly. Right. It's not. It's but. Really, really, really don't try to sell people that haven't raised their hand.
So important. Well, and the thing is, you talked earlier about ideally having that one-to-one conversation. Now, for some of us, I mean, probably not maybe the majority that are listening to this, perhaps, who are just, struggling with even having a business. But for people in my stage where it's like there's only one of me and there's way too many people to do one-on-one, conversations with. So now I actually have two other people that actually better at these conversations than I am. Then for example, if I like I love teaching, so if I do a master class, but I can't one-on-one ask people necessarily, why did they sign up? We actually have a survey
Yes, that's a great
on the
way.
webinar and it pops up and then I can read it off. What do you think of that?
It's no, it's great. I do that too with webinars and have people when they register, there's I mean they don't have to, but there's the option a lot of people do to take an assessment or a quiz or a survey or whatever. So you can do that beforehand. And that's really great because then you know who's showing up, right? And of course the people who fill that out are more likely to show up also. And you can also do surveys like right then inside, either
Yeah, that's what we
within
ended
a
up
chat
doing.
and have people do that. Or even a little informal stuff. Sometimes depending on the circumstance or whatever, sometimes I'll just like, all right, I just want to know who's here. How many of you, let's say they are all healers, because I'd be like, how many of you are just getting started in your business and you haven't even had a paying client yet? How many of you've been doing this for a few years? And how many do they even just little things like that, then you have a better sense, right, of who you're talking to. So you can speak more appropriately to them, right? And selling to a group is different than selling one-on-one. That's also true. And I do both, but mostly what I teach is the one-on-one, because most of the people that I'm here to serve are, that's what they need, right? They really need that initial thing to break through and get a practice going and know that they can actually make a living doing their wonderful work. And then if they want to move on to selling from stage, as they say, then I can help them with that too. But
I know you helped me immensely when we were talking about because I won that award and then I won another one from you. So thank you. See, we did that 2-hour session together. It was so helpful, just strategizing. There was just so much that we could capitalize on the information we already had, but just wasn't really sure what direction. And with your experience, having talked to 10,000 people or more, just you could do this, you could do this. And it was like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. And even the person that helps me with the sales piece, she absolutely loved it. She's like, oh my gosh. And she started doing these one-on-one calls and check-ins and see how people are doing. And and it's been so we've now incorporated as part of our flow.
Yay. Yeah. And
Yeah.
Because one-on-one conversations are somebody in the company needs to be having them, right? It's not always going to be the person at the top, although that's how you started, right?
Right.
But that one-on-one, the because you that's the only way you can really learn from people, the people that you heard from, right? Is by having those conversations with them. So
Right.
that's how, I learned as much as I do about healers, because it's not just that I am one, right? But that's who I've been supporting. A while back, you were asking about why it's so hard for healers
Yeah.
to sell, and like I said, there's a lot to say about it, and we have been. But I wanted to speak to that, some of the other things, and I think partly so it is there's that negativity that we all have around sales, and so there's this place of feeling like, well, I don't want to be salesy. I don't want to be a salesperson because we have salespeople are liars, or salespeople are manipulative, or salespeople are scummy, or whatever it is, right? So there's all those associations, and I think as healers, there's some work is just clearing some of that stuff, right? Like actually
Absolutely.
patching those associations, because it doesn't need to be that way, right? So there's a lot of the inner game stuff that's in the way. And then in addition to that, all the negative associations with sales, then there's also for healers, there's often a lot of negative associations with money,
Yep.
right?
Absolutely.
Right. So then that's in the way as well. Beliefs about money, beliefs about it being, it's so funny as healers, right? We're so in the A lot of ways, we're just very connected to the energy, right, of the world and the energy of the universe and like the wonder and all of that, except money.
Yeah, except money. It's like money is like this, thing. Like we're allergic to sales and allergic to the idea of money because money is associated culturally with, greedy people and yada yada. There's, when we get to that stage where, like, for example, for me, where we are doing one to many, right? Which is not where most people are going to start and shouldn't, because I tried and I did not make money for 7 years. So anyway, but now it's fine. When we do like Facebook ads, for example, and I the last one I did, I was like, talking about my miscarriage. I'm like, God told me to talk about my miscarriage. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm telling the story, right? And we tell some really heartfelt stories, and they're has been like one or two people less, but one or two people who'd be like, oh, it's all about the money, right? And comments like that can really hurt a healer who's not really like at that place where they're like, ah, I don't take anything personally, that's their stuff, right? But so I can do that now, but before would have cut me to the bone to get a negative comment like that. So we want to protect ourselves from negative feedback.
We do, right? And that judgment, and it's partly because we still have that judgment, but then when someone else's judgment, I remember once having a sales conversation with someone, and I was just like serving them and being great with them, because that's what I do. But somehow it did come up that they asked if I, if I got a commission, if they purchased. And I said I did, because that's the truth. And she said, oh, that's why you're being so nice to me. And I was like, it
Oh,
felt
ouch.
like a nightmare.
Wow. Like people can't be nice. Like, they always have to. Yeah, it's all their other people's beliefs, but like you said, it's also reflected to what is left for us to heal. When we get that feedback. And also I liken it to, I'll call these things abundance challenges. My tribe knows what I'm talking about. It basically is like an obstacle the universe puts in front of me so I can level up. Whether that be looking at a belief or looking at what is left to heal or a challenge for me to see, wow, I did so much better this time, right? Same challenge. So on that one comment, which is all about the money, I replied and I said, well, it might be for you, but for me, it's really about making a difference, right? And I did this whole paragraph and, the thing is, I'm not going to change that person's mind if they're being a,
But
what.
you can still take a stand for what you do stand for.
Right. And I said, I believe in paying my staff a good wage. I believe in, so I said all these things and making a difference. And so the funny thing is someone down the comment said, I wasn't sure I was gonna register for this, but because of the thoughtful replies to other people's comments, I'm definitely registering for this.
Yeah.
Like so cool.
Yeah, that is so cool. And that's so great what you did, because you did, you got, I mean, sure it hurt, you know, when it first was, when they said that, right? We know with it, but you got back into why you're really here, right?
Yeah.
And stand for it, and you just spoke from there, right? And let them be however they were being. But you're like, but this is, you know, you didn't let the comment stand, and you didn't defend against it. You simply stated what was so, right?
Right. Sometimes I agree with them. I agree with them. I'm like, yeah, you know, a lot of time, blah, 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 where I start agreeing with them and it comes full circle. And anyway, it's just I'm a very creative person. So in some ways it taps into that creativity. And I don't think I've deleted any comments unless it's like really attacking someone else.
That's
We
not.
don't delete comments. Facebook ads team gave me the reason why. But anyway,
Yeah.
so yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah. So these things are really hard for healers, but we also up level and evolve ourselves so that we don't take things personally. We heal what is projected from within to out there so we can see it, right? And then we can.
Exactly, right? And just keep grounding ourselves, right, in why we're really here and what our values are, even if someone's misunderstanding them, right? Because they will. It's like, you know, that it just made me think, you know, that book Illusions, Richard Bach's book, The Adventures of the Reluctant Messiah. And if you read, you
Oh,
know that.
right. I haven't
Yeah.
read that one, but I know
Oh,
of
it's
the.
so good. And so many incredible quotes in it. But one of the things he says, you live your life so that if what you did was published, you know, in every newspaper in the world, you'd still be fine, even if what they published wasn't true, right? Like, whoa, right?
Ooh, that's a goodie. That's real. I got chills. That's real
I
good.
did too. As soon as I said it, right? And that's what made me think. It's like, you know, they're gonna think what they're gonna think, you know, but you just say like, no, but this is how it is for me. So there's all that inner stuff, right? So like I said, stuff about sales, stuff about money, and then there's stuff about ourselves, right? You know, the self-worth issues and not good enough and not, you know, not smart enough or not experienced enough. Healers so often compare that. I can't tell you, I work with so many healers, and they're so often, it'll be like a group of 20 and they all think they're the furthest behind. That's right. Like they're always like, you can't all be.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a lot of
Oh.
comparison, you know, I'm not as experienced as that person. The people, like, they've been doing it for 5 years and they're like, I'm so new. And you're like, you're not. So, and because, you know, it's so personal to us, it's like sacred to us.
Yes.
And so that, you know, that makes it harder. So even if you're someone who maybe you could be selling widgets, but selling your healing work, it's just so much more challenging. For a lot of reasons, including,
It's like
yeah,
your baby.
it's your baby, it's your soul's calling, it's so personal to you, it's literally you, like in terms of your time and your service that you're selling. So if they don't like it, if I'm selling widgets and they don't like the widget, I'm not going to take it that personally. But if
Right.
I'm selling my healing sessions and then they're like, well, it didn't work.
Rejecting me.
Yeah, right. Then you're yeah, we it does feel like rejection. It's our healing work is one of the ways we express love. And so when people don't want it, we feel like they don't want our love. I mean, this all goes deep, right? There's so many levels and layers to it. So there is, you know, that inner part that in order to get good at sales, you do, there's inner work to do, right? And keep doing. There's always more, right? But then there's the other side, which is I just tend to talk about it as like the inner game and the outer game.
Okay.
So the outer game is like the actual skills,
Right.
right? Like knowledge and understanding how people make decisions and what to say and when to say it and what questions to ask. And that's sales skills. And honestly, it doesn't matter how much clearing you do over here and how good you get with money. If you don't have the skills, it's still not going to work.
Right.
Right?
So there's both
You
things,
got to
and
have both,
we should not
right?
be automatically good at it.
Yes, right? Because there are skills. Sales is a set of skills. Just like learning to play an instrument, learning to play a sport, it's a set of skills, and you got to practice it to get it, right? You got to learn, then you got to practice. And That's like, well, actually, both of those are where I come in, because when I'm working with people, where I was doing both, we're doing, because I'm a healer, right? So we're doing the clearing, we're identifying the limiting beliefs, we're getting those out of the way and clearing those wounds, and then that now you're kind of open, and now you learn some skills, right? And then you get out there and you start having conversations, and you make some sales, and you also fall flat on your face a couple of times, right? Like that can still happen because you're still learning. And then that dries up a little bit more of your stuff. So then we get to do a little more clearing over here. And now you're a little more open. And now you're like ready to do more and build your outer game a bit more. And it's kind of like this, that's how you succeed, right? If you're just
Nice.
trying to get succeed just by the inner, and I'm just going to keep clear. I mean, it depends when you hear that.
Keep
Like,
clearing, keep
I
clearing, keep
just need to keep
clearing.
clearing, right? And I mean, yes, but if you're just going to try to clear your way to success, you're not going to get very far, right? And by the same token, if you're going to like tough it out, you're, I'm just going to learn the skills and I'm just going to do it. And blah, 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 you're only going to get so far here. But when you
Right.
go like this, you like get clear, you open, you learn some more, you put yourself out there, you get a little, then that dries up some more stuff to clear. And you get in there and you do that work. And now you do a little bit more and you keep going like this. Sky's the limit. That's the
Nice.
way to succeed in life.
Oh yeah, that's really resonating. We do have a lot of people that say, "Well, I keep clearing and I keep clearing and I keep clearing," and I'm like, okay, I'll give you an example. They're just like, oh, I keep clearing, 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 but my husband's doing this, or my wife's doing this, or my family's doing this, right? But they actually haven't put healthy boundaries or something. You know, they actually haven't had a conversation that said, this is not okay, right? So you can clear all you want, but if you're not willing to take the action, it's like, well, maybe clear the resistance to not taking the action. Then take the action. So I love this. You know, that is so
That's
true.
how it works, right? Neither one of them, you will not get very far in either one alone, right? But if you're willing to do the clearing and then get in action, you know, it's like, yes, clear around, you know, blocks around clients and around money and around sales. But then you have to go pick up what sometimes feels like a 700-pound phone, right? But you pick it up and you have a conversation, right? And you ask questions, and then, you know, based on some skills, right? Which again, that's where I'm here to teach. And by the way, the skills of sales are, it's like 80% plus of it is just asking good questions and listening to the answer. It's not about you having the perfect words to describe what you do. You'll get better at that over time, but it's mostly about just getting out of your own head, being over there in the other person's world, right? And the best way to do that is to ask them questions.
Love that. Yeah, that's great. Fantastic. Now, can you share a little bit about the freebie, which is, by the way, if you're just tuning in, it's at www.karencan.com/salesforhealers. And that's all one word. Yeah, what kind of gift did you arrange for our community?
Well, I like to teach people how to, right from the beginning, how to have a conversation with people, people who've raised their hand, right? And so one of the things you're going to learn is what I call it the tell me more trap. Okay. So here's what I mean by that. When someone raises their hand, in some way, shape, or form, they're saying, tell me more, right? They might literally say, tell me more about that. They might say, that sounds interesting. How does that work? They might say, does, you know, would that help with this? They might say, right. In some way, shape, or form, they are inquiring and they're asking you to tell them more. And what happens is people are like, they want to know more. They're so excited. Someone's finally asking. And then typically what people do is, right, like
We call it verbal diarrhea.
way too much information, right? And there's a number of reasons why that happens. One of them is just because you're missing a skill, which I'm about to teach you. But you know, we love what we do. We love it, right? You get me with a bunch of other healers, or honestly, a bunch of other people who are into heart-centered sales because they're both passions of mine. But I can geek out about it for hours, can't you? The stuff that you're right, but
So true.
that is not what they're asking for. Right? They do not want to hear all the stuff you would talk about with your other healer friends, where you could go on for 6 hours, right? They're not asking for that. So people, start, they're trying to explain it. They're talking about like where it came from and all
Oh
the
my
amazing
gosh.
results people have had and how they went through their training and how long it's been around, right? Like on and on and on. And you, their eyes start to glaze over,
Right,
right?
right.
And excuse me. And it's just, they're just trying to get out of it at that point. And you're usually kind of the person who's now has been doing all this. There's a certain point you're like, why am I still talking? How do I get out of this? Right.
Right.
So I'm gonna, so that's the tell me more trap, right?
Okay.
I'll call it the tell me more trap. And we've both been on both sides of it. We've both been on all sides of it, right? All of us. And so I want to teach you there's really five steps to like totally handle the tell me more trap, but the first one's the most important one. I'm going to teach it to you right now, and you'll get more of it, to if you decide you want to take my gift. So the first thing when someone says some version of "tell me more" because they responded, by the way, when I say when they responded to your message, that could have been like your website or something you posted on social media or
Right. It
anything
had a
like that.
comment,
But it could
right?
have been a comment. It could also have been just in a conversation. Like maybe you meet someone at a party and they ask you what you do, and you say enough, you say just a little about it. And they're like, that's interesting. Like, tell me more about it, right? So that's messaging too. So what you when they first ask, that there's that tendency, you gotta like pull back that tendency to tell them everything you know and love about it, right? And instead, when they say tell me more, say something like, I would love to, but first let me ask what interests you about it. And then zip it, right?
Wow.
And listen to their answer. Okay.
Yes.
So let me take the example of you, like you met them, right? You were introduced or something, and they were asking. When they said, so tell me more about that, they might just be impolite, right? They might just be being polite. They might be intellectually curious. They might have an issue that's going on with them that they're actually wondering if you can help them with. They might have a cousin whose daughter is studying something that sounds similar to what you just said, and they're actually just trying to figure out if what you do is what their cousin's daughter does.
That happens a lot.
Okay. And I could probably come up with five other scenarios, every one of which would be a different conversation. So you got to find out first what conversation is it we're having, right? Because you would, or they might think that what you do is energy. They might be like, "That's not for me," but my mom's really into it. They might be thinking that, and so they're just trying to find out more because they're thinking they might want to connect you with their mom. But they're not going to want to connect you with your mom if you launch into telling them everything about everything you do, right? So I'd love to tell you more. I'm super passionate about it, but what interests you about it? They are going to so appreciate it.
Oh, such a good line. That's like major golden nugget right there.
If that's the only thing you change about your conversation, I promise you're going to get different results. Okay.
Wow.
So then you
Wow.
listen, and then let's say though it is because they're curious for themselves, and it's not just intellect. So they're wondering, like maybe they're like, I was wondering, somebody told me that helps with migraines, and sometimes I get migraines. So maybe they tell you that's why they were, and you're like, score, great. You still don't launch into what you do. You find out more, right? Like how long has that been going on, right? What's it like for you? Because I'm just picked migraines, but the range of the experience of migraines is very broad, right?
Right,
I get
Are
migraines
you
sometimes.
mad,
I get
vomiting?
nerve pain. I get occasional, but it's the visual only. I don't get any pain, but and that's very different from someone who's debilitated with migraine pain, right? So you would find out more about it. What's going on? And what is it? What would be a solution for them? What is it that they want? And I mean, if it's the migraines, obviously they want them to end, but depending on the problem, that might not be that obvious, right? And
Right.
get a sense of like, is this something that's urgent for them? Sometimes people are interested.
Right.
They have an actual problem. It would be nice for that problem to be solved, but they're not. It's like it would be nice. Like they're not
Urgent.
motivated. right now, right? So you need to find out, right? And have a real conversation with them, like a real human being, and not someone who's all stuck in their head, like, oh my God, I'm supposed to sell now. right? And if those things kind of lead to, would make sense, they're motivated, they have a real issue, that's when you tell them just a little bit about what you do. But you don't tell about how it all works. You just say a little bit about the kind of things that helps people with, and then you could invite them. This like to try it if they would like to try a session with you, or again, if it's casual at a party, you might even want to invite them to a consult, right? So that you could have go in a little more in depth than you might not want them be.
Right. So, because it's privacy and they
Yeah, or
don't want to talk about their health.
various reasons. Yeah, but even when someone schedules a consultation with you, right? Like on your, then you still, I still don't assume that I know why they're there,
Right.
right? It's like, so why did you, that's the first thing I ask, how do we get connected, and why did you want to schedule the conversation with me? And I listen, and sometimes they really surprise me. It wasn't at all what I was thinking, right? So.
Yeah, that's true. And one of the things that one of my sales trainers, whatever, said previously is the WIIFM, what's in it for me, and that we need to, really be clear on what it is that, I because if I talk all about myself, it's not answering that question that they have is what's in it for me? Like, how does this come
One of the
out?
things I wanted to say is, like, even when someone says, oh, that's, like, tell me, how does that work? They don't actually want to know. Even when they say, like you're talking about, say you're an energy healer, and the thing, like, oh, tell me, how does energy healing work? They
Oh,
don't know.
oops.
They still just want to know if it will help them.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, because I could launch into a whole class, right?
Exactly, right?
And I'm like,
You
how do I
can give a
answer this
little bit of an
question?
overview, but I would still, even with something like that, I would be, I would say something like, that's a big topic. I'd be delighted to talk about it, but why are you asking? What interests you about it? I would still do that first, because I'm promising you, they're not asking for a lecture. And that's what we might jump into, because we love talking about
Yes.
it.
Any chance do we get? Oh my gosh, such great counsel, such great advice. That's awesome. Yeah. And so the freebie is at KarenCann.com/sales for healers. So what happens when people get the freebie? Then what happens?
Sorry, I have to like break character for a second, because we're leading to two different freebies. So I'm not sure what to say if we're leading to
Oh, right. Yeah.
that. So,
So if you are watching this in March of 2024, there is something extra special. If you're not, then you'll still get a freebie. It'll just be a little different in the email.
yeah.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit about what you have upcoming in, I
Coming
think,
up
May
soon.
2024.
Well, so in I'll say in March, so there's a
March.
watch this and it right comes out. I there that will take you to be able to attend a free training that I'm giving that's called Closing Sales with an Open Heart, which is how we want to do it, right? And so that is a free training that I'm offering a few times in the next week or so. And I promise you, we will talk more about the Tell Me More Trap, as well as a number of other things that are in the way that keep people stuck and unable to just like be themselves in the conversation. So often what happens is someone, there'll be a thing, you might be talking about what you do, and then there'll be something that people will say, whether they're asking more or here's a big one, oh, how much does it cost? Or things
Oh
like,
boy.
and
Trigger, trigger, trigger.
suddenly it's like you're gone, right? Like here you were just having this, and then you're just like, right? And they're like, what happened? So we're going to kind of get into all of that and what's behind all of that, and how to instead be able to stay present, right? And actually be still in the conversation with someone to help them move forward if that's what makes sense for them. So it's a very interactive training. Totally welcome you guys to come join me for that. So that's what's coming up in March, right?
Okay, great.
If you are watching this later, we will have a different training for you, which you'll be able to just download and read right away. That is called Sales Conversation Secrets, Heart-Centered Sales Made Simple. And it is actually going to lead you all the way through all the five steps to not falling into, but instead handling beautifully and effectively and from the heart, the tell me more trap. Right. So the step one I taught you already. And that's honestly that one that alone will make a huge difference. Just simply to say, I would love to tell you more, but first let me ask what interests you about it. But there's more to it than that, right? In order to just to be able to lead to a real conversation. And it will also teach you the part of like how do you actually invite people to work with you? If you've had that conversation, if you've found out what it is that they're looking for and that they're interested in, how do you then in a way that is totally authentic and will really help you to stand in your power as the expert that you are, how to then invite them to work with you? It's a very specific way to do it. I call it the expert opinion recommendation. And it's one of my favorite things to teach because it really not only serves that potential client very, very well, but it serves you as the healer because it really invites you to just like stand in your power and stand in your expertise. So you will learn that as well. Actually, I forgot to say one of the things that will be in the closing sales with an open heart training. So, for those of you who see this early and you come to that, if you've ever had someone say, "Oh, that seems like it's kind of pricey," or "I don't know if I can afford that," or something like that, I am actually going to teach you what to do, what to say when someone says that, which a great deal of the time, not all the time, but a great deal of the time has that concern or objection just disappear.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay, everyone's like running here to get access to that. And so for folks that are listening like after the March webinar and they want to be part of something live with you that's sort of like this as well, do you have anything like regular that you can email them like on your email list or anything like that? Upcoming freebies or other trainings?
Sold, the heart and soul of sales for healers. And that is spelled SOUL apostrophe D. Right? So
Oh.
sold, the heart and soul of sales for healers. And that is a transformational event. It is only for energy healers. So I literally don't let other people come if they are not energy healers. And over the course of 3 days, we will really transform your whole relationship to sales and to pretty much all the aspects of business, like of having a business as a healer. Like I said earlier, most healers, there's some exceptions, but the majority, it's not that they have this passion for having their own business. It's that they have a passion for healing,
Yeah.
right? If there was some, a help wanted sign, energy healers wanted great benefits, they'd be like, sign me up. I don't want to do, but that's not the reality. The
Yeah.
reality is to be able to make a living and a good living, helping people with your extraordinary healing work. You have to have your own business. And it's possible to do that without trying to become, uber entrepreneur, without like contorting yourself into all these like different programs and funnels and things that really weren't made for people like us. They were made for more entrepreneurial kind of people. You don't have to do, well, I mean, I always say, you want to build a seven-figure business, then yeah, you're going to have to become entrepreneurial, right? But if that's not what you're going for, you just want to like make a good living and helping people doing your healing work, you can do that. You absolutely can do that with what I'm going to teach you. So I totally
Brilliant.
invite you to come to the sold event as well, and you'll get information about that no matter which of the free gifts you sign up for.
Oh, perfect. Oh, that is great. And I know you have regular trainings, all the time. And So people get to know some of your work and get these great skills. And if they desire to dive deeper, they can get extra training from you. So that's fantastic. So Anne, it's been wonderful having you on Light Warrior Radio. I'm so glad that there are energy healers that love to teach what you're teaching because we definitely need that. So thank you so much for your skills and for your passion. Do you have any last, words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our audience before we go?
I do. And I really, what gets in the way for healers is ourselves, right? In other words, it's like our own concerns, it's our own limiting beliefs and all of that stuff that we all know, right? And I just really want everyone to take on not letting that stop you, right? Not letting that matter, because your work's so important. Your work really, really matters, right? The world needs healing, as much now as it ever, ever, ever has, right? And we need to have the courage and the support, right, from people, people like me, to not let those inhibitions, not let those fears stop us, because your work is too important. It's just too important to let that stop you. And there's nothing like the joy of actually really making a living for yourself doing the work that's coming from your soul. So it's so, so, so worth it. And we're here to help you.
That's so beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Anne. Just so you know, this pretty link that I made, KarenKan.com/sales for healers, will have whichever link is appropriate to go to whatever Anne has to offer as a freebie and to support you on your journey. So thank you, Anne, for being here. And thank you to all of our Light Medicine community and Light Warriors around the world for joining us for this show. So thank you. Big love. Thank you. Thank you. Till next time.